So our reading is about Jesus healing two blind men. And the context of this is that Jesus has just healed a lame man. He has raised Jairus' daughter from death to life, and he has healed a woman who touched his cloak. So this is from Matthew 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray together before we come to God's word. Holy Spirit, you are the power and presence of God. Speak into our lives this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Which is more impressive, the healing of two blind men, or, by the sound of your voice, creating 2 trillion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars? That is more stars than there are grains of sand on the whole earth. Which is more impressive? And I guess the answer depends on whether you are one of those blind men. For creation speaks of the infinite and unfathomable nature of God. But this healing speaks of his particular care and his particular love for two individuals. Both are true, and both are truly amazing. So if Jesus cares so much, why does he seemingly ignore these two blind men for so long? There are amazing miracles in the first part of this chapter. Healing a lame man, raising Jairus' daughter back to life, a woman touching his cloak being healed. And there's no reticence on Jesus' part to miraculously heal. So why ignore these two blind men who are following him? Well, the word "follow" might be a bit misleading, because the word used here actually conveys the meaning of persistence and determination. It's more than just ambling along. In the crowd, I imagine they could well have been an irritant, calling out, shouting as they pursued Jesus. But he keeps moving. Disadvantaged by their blindness, it's tough for them to keep up. It's difficult for them to grab his attention. And Jesus even leaves the street and goes into a house. Undeterred, they persist. And it's a laudable quality, the quality of keeping going, the quality of persistence, of not being put off. How often do we give up because we can't seem to get God's attention? We lose heart. Our faith wavers. But not here. Maybe they had so much to gain. Blindness was no small thing. Others had been healed, and they needed healing. Getting attention, though, was a different matter. On the 30th of March 1979, that's a day I will not easily forget. I was in central London, and I was driving around Parliament Square. And as I did so, I noticed what appeared to be a bonfire just behind the entrance gates to Parliament. I was unaware of it at the time, but that was the very immediate aftermath of a car bomb that killed Éire Nach MP, who was then Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. Not only was I unaware of what had just happened, but it was so recent that nothing was different. Everything appeared normal. So I left Parliament Square and parked in Queen Anne's Gate, and I went to an appointment in an office there. 15 minutes later, we were interrupted as anti-terrorist police burst into the office shouting, "Get out and get out now!" They were armed, they were wearing balaclavas, and we had no idea what was going on. Unceremoniously ushered out of the building and out of the cordoned off street. I asked one policeman, "What's going on? And when can I get my car?" No answer. I tried several policemen. None of them would say anything. All were intently listening to their blaring walkie-talkies. I was totally blanked. It was as if I didn't exist. I could get no one's attention. It was strange, confusing, upsetting. It was only later I found someone who said, "There's been an explosion in Parliament and there's a suspected car bomb in that street. Come back tomorrow." When you're not answered, there's a feeling of powerlessness, even a feeling of rejection. You feel belittled, anonymous, ignored. It's like trying to get a doctor's appointment or to call EDF. Silence, no answer. Other unresponsive energy companies are available. So is a wall of silence how these two men felt as they called out and pursued Jesus? Just imagine, bereft of sight, it would have been difficult to follow Jesus. But they were persistent. They kept going. No obstacle stops them. No disparaging comment from the crowd deters them. They are persistent, not deflected, not put off. So what does their persistence tell you? Were they half-hearted? Or were they totally committed? Was their need small, or was it large? Did they think that Jesus was a long shot, or had they total belief? We're not told, but we can only infer. But I reckon they thought they had a big problem, and they were intent on getting it fixed. And they had no doubt Jesus was their man. And in essence, that's faith. So why does Jesus make it so difficult for them? Moments before, he just sensed a woman touching his garment. Surely he knew these poor guys, straining at the top of their voices, are struggling to get to him. Come on, Jesus, just give them a break. But here is our first lesson. And I'm going to call it the John McEnroe principle. Are you serious? Are you serious? Persistence shows seriousness. In persistence, Jesus sees seriousness. A test of seriousness is the lengths that you will go to. Kevin Sinfield ran 7 marathons in 7 days in support of Rob Burrow's Motor Neuron Foundation. That's serious commitment. In Genesis 29, we read that Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. That's serious commitment. Persistence shows seriousness. And by their actions, these blind men demonstrated to Jesus they were serious. Think about that when you don't appear to be heard. When you're tempted to give up, remember that persistence shows seriousness. It's one of the issues you may have with this month's Rhythm of Life challenge of intercession. For some of you, intercession will be a daily experience one you may have just started, or one you may have been doing for decades. For others, you may have had a go and have given up. For others, you may not have got started. I wonder why. Is it because you don't know what to pray for? Is it because you don't believe that God will answer? Is it that it's just not one of your priorities? Show God you are serious. Persist. Get going and keep going. And your persistence will be rewarded. And for the blind men, finally, persistence pays off. And in the house, they have Jesus' attention. They have his full attention. So does Jesus commend them for their persistence? Does he hold them up as an example of how to overcome? Does he immediately reach out and heal them? Well, the answer is no, he doesn't do any of these things. In essence, he just says to them, talk to me. Talk to me. Say it out loud. You've shown it, now say it. Let me hear you say it. Jesus wants them to articulate their need and their faith. Is this patronizing? Is it like asking a child to say please before giving them a sweet? Well, no, because Jesus respectfully has a point to make. Because there are two things he wants to hear. First, he wants to know what's on your heart. What do you want? What do you need? Tell him. Speak to him. Articulate what stirs in your heart. He wants to hear firsthand. So talk to him as you would talk to a friend, heart to heart. Don't assume he knows. He wants to hear you say it. Tell him. And second, he asks, do you believe? He wants you to express your belief in your own words. It wasn't enough for these men to say, have mercy on me. Jesus wants them to say, I believe. In other healings, an expression of faith had been enough, touching his garment, bringing a lame friend. But in this case, Jesus wants to hear it from them. And there's a powerful word in Jesus' question. It's the word you. Do you believe I'm able to do this? It isn't about collective faith. It isn't about what Jesus can do for others. It's about you. Do you believe he can do this for you? He's just raised a girl from the dead, and he asks, do you believe I can restore your sight? And here's the rub. It's easier to believe that Jesus can do something for someone else than it is to believe he can do it for you. It's easier to believe he can do it for someone else than it is to believe that he can do it for you. Charles Blondin was a famous tightrope walker, and on the 15th of July, 1859, he walked on a tightrope from Canada to the United States across Niagara Falls. The tightrope was a quarter of a mile long and 160 feet above the raging falls. Back and forth he went to the rapturous applause of a huge crowd. Once he rode a bike across. Another time he took a stove and cooked an omelette. And on his final crossing, he took a wheelbarrow. And he shouted to the crowd, do you believe I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow? Yes, they shouted. Well, who's going to volunteer to get in? No one. You see, they believed he could do it for someone else. They didn't believe he could do it for them. And the question Jesus asks us this morning is, do you believe I can do this for you? Jesus wants us to hear from us our expression of our faith in him and our expression of faith to him. Now, have you noticed that repeatedly Jesus says to those he heals, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." What makes them well? Well, it's not just Jesus' ability to heal. It's their faith in him. I wonder if we misunderstand this. Do we think we need to shout louder to get God's attention and to cajole a reluctant God into action? Well, there's a lesson to be learned in Mark 9 when a man comes to Jesus, bringing to him his son who has an evil spirit. And Mark records the man saying to Jesus, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus says, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Perhaps we need a little of that humility. Jesus wants us to trust in him and to trust him. "I do believe, but help my unbelief." So Jesus asks us, "Do you believe I am able to do this? Do you believe God is able to answer your prayer, your persistent prayer?" And look at Jesus' answer. "According to your faith, let it be." It seems that what is not in question is not God's ability to act, but whether we believe he can. Not in theory, but in reality, for us. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." The blind men would have been baffled as to why Jesus was so unapproachable. And we are baffled that our prayers seemingly go unanswered. But the answer is this: "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Finally, healing is received. Sight is restored. And Jesus has one last request. "Don't tell anyone. Keep this to yourselves. Keep stumm." Why? Could it be that a gold rush of ill people flocking to Jesus would hinder his greater purpose? Well, they couldn't keep it in. They go and they tell. They can't keep quiet. But notice what they tell. They're not boasting about their healing. They're not speaking of the miracle of restored sight. Notice what Matthew says. He says, they told everyone about him. They went and spoke about Jesus. Do you notice the just juxtaposition here? Jesus tells them not to speak, and they do. But he tells us to speak, and I think we're a bit reticent. I just wonder how these blind men got to hear about Jesus in the first place. They couldn't have seen any of his miracles. They couldn't have witnessed what he had done. So either someone had told them, or they overheard someone excitedly talking about the wonderful things that Jesus could do. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul tells us that the whole world is blind. He says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel." We live in a blind society. A society who cannot see Jesus. So will anyone this week overhear us excitedly talking about what he has done for us? Let's just pray together. Father God, how easily we give up. We pray this morning for the gift of persistence, that we might not give up, but we might demonstrate to you how serious we are. We pray you would help us share what is on our hearts with you, to tell you the things that are important to us, and to express our faith, our confidence, our conviction in your purposes and your power. And may we express our faith not only to you, but to those whose eyes are still spiritually blind, that they may come to see Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue now in an attitude of prayer as we spend a time of quiet reflection and bow in confession. We're not going to focus our confession outwardly on words on the screen, but we're going to focus our confession inwardly through the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like you to invite the Holy Spirit to come now and speak to you. Holy Spirit, come and speak into my heart in the quietness of this moment. And in the quietness, ask the Holy Spirit to show you one thing that God wants you to leave behind. One thing that is a burden that you carry. It might be an attitude. It might be an action. It might be a habit. As the Holy Spirit reveals that one thing to you, name it before him. Recognize it and name it. Now bring that thing that you have named and bring it to the cross of Jesus. Put it down at the foot of the cross. Jesus has taken in full the consequence of your sin, and now he wants you to be free from it. Confession acknowledges and apologizes. So leave it at the foot of the cross. Having left it at the foot of the cross, now walk away. Turn your back on it. Leave it forever. In repentance, ask God the Holy Spirit to give you the strength never to revisit what you have left behind. Father God, you love us. You come to us not in judgment, but in mercy. Thank you for your gift of forgiveness. Help us to count the cost to you of our cleansing. Renew us. Revive us. Fill us again. May our lives acknowledge your love, and may others be caught up in the overflow of what we've received, that glory will be given to Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.